Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everybody in Christ Jesus. Great to be here with you all this morning. Thanks for coming into our service here at Trinity. Thanks for tuning in on the radio if you're listening as well. Have a wonderful service to share with you all this morning. You know, the world keeps us focused on a lot of different stuff. And this morning, we pray that the Lord's word refocuses us and blesses us in that way. We'll talk more about that later. Glad you made it. Thankful to be together as church this morning. And we invite you to turn over to hymn 905. That's our hymn of invocation. It's in your hymnal in front of you there. Come Thou Almighty King. And we do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning when we sing our hymn of invocation. So let's sing together hymn 905. Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are forgiven.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed before God, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins. And lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We continue with our intro right now from Psalm 34. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We sing together our Kyrie and our Gloria. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his ways. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah in the 23rd chapter of his prophecy. Before we read the reading, just know that back in the days of Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the other prophets that we think of when we think of prophets, there was also a bunch of false prophets. And they were going around and they were telling lies and they were claiming the authority of God and speaking lies. And the Lord speaks here with Jeremiah and through Jeremiah to warn them of false prophets. Well, sad to say, they're in our world today too. Consider that as you hear the reading this morning from Jeremiah 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord that it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite our children up front this morning for our children's message. Come on up, guys. Well, hello. How are you guys?
Awesome.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, wonderful. Did you guys?
I'm just good.
You're just good?
Oh.
Understandable, understandable.
I'm eating food with, like, oatmeal and crackers.
Oatmeal and crackers. Sounds yummy, man. Sounds great, Joseph. Yeah. It's oatmeal. Mmm. Hey, real quick, did you guys hear that reading from Jeremiah that I just read? Were you listening to that?
Yeah.
And what was he talking about in that reading?
False prophets.
Good job, yeah. Talking about false prophets who tell the truth or lies?
Lies.
And was God happy with false prophets that told lies?
No,
not at all. Now I have another question for you. Are you ready? How many of you have ridden in a car in your life?
Me.
Ever been in a car? Joseph, you ever been in a car, buddy?
Yes.
Yes? How about you, Gus? I know you have. I've been with you in a car. Victor, you too? Okay. So in a car, what do you wear to stay safe?
A seatbelt.
I go on top.
And a car seat.
Or a car seat. A seatbelt or a car seat. And why do you put on a seatbelt? What does that do for you?
Keeps you safe.
It keeps you safe.
And then you don't crash.
Then you don't crash. If you go underwater, the seatbelt needs to come off, right? Good answer, yeah. Very good. Okay, so in our reading from Jeremiah, God was talking about false prophets who told lies. And then he also had something in the reading that would keep people safe, kind of like a seatbelt for our lives. And do you know what that is? Faith. Good job. Faith. And faith comes from where? From God's? From his heart and his word. Yeah, got from his word. So I want you guys to think, about God's word from the Bible like a seatbelt for our lives, okay? It always keeps us safe. Even when people are telling us false prophecies and false truths and false lies all around us, what can keep us safe from all the false lies?
A seatbelt.
A seatbelt of God's word. Okay, that holds us tight and keeps us safe, okay? All right, can you guys remember that for me? Yeah, all right, okay, do your best, okay? Joseph? Now I make them feel better. Yeah, very good, okay. All right, so note to pastor, he should have talked about crackers and oatmeal, right? Then we would have had all of you hooked, right? Hey guys, would you say a prayer with me real quick? Would you bow your heads and fold your hands and close your eyes? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all your blessings. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that really does keep us safe in a world where there's lots of messages that we can't trust. Lord, we know we can always, always, always stay safe in your word, and you protect us by it. Lord, bless us and protect us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up. You can go sit back down. Oh, okay. Joseph, you made me hungry. Talking about crackers, I'm like, that doesn't sound too bad. Thank you, guys. We now come to our epistle lesson for today. It's from Hebrews 11, verse 17 through chapter 12, verse 3. We're on the bottom of page 5 in your bulletin. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Written that you may believe that Jesus.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We invite the congregation to join us now in confessing our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten not made, being of our substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Who for us ran, and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both living and dead. Whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day? It's hymn 655. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. In football, this started, by the way, if you haven't noticed. In football, they want to get to the end zone. It's everything and all to get to the end zone for a touchdown. In basketball, they're trying to get to the hoop. In baseball, they got to get across home plate. And in hockey or soccer, it's a puck or a ball into a goal. And it's a fairly straightforward process. It's not really rocket science. But this morning, I wonder about your life. What about your life? What about my life? What goals or goalposts have we set? What are we really trying to accomplish? So, a question. If you could win at life, you, what would it look like to you? I encourage you to really consider that question this morning. What's your end zone? What's your hoop? What's your goal? What's your home run? I want to give you just a second. I'll do it too. To pause and really think about that. It's a tough question for us, huh? If we're really thinking. And the reason I think that it's a tough question for people today, if we're honest, we're not exactly sure. It's a bit of a moving target in our culture. We have many, many goals. And our goals change and shift like the sand as life happens. Or at least as we first consider the question, it seems that way. We're not really talking this morning about short-term stuff, short-term goals, which come to mind first, I think, when we're asked that question. We're talking not about first downs or something like that. We're talking about real, authentic, kind of final wins. What's your win? What could happen in your life that you would finally say, I did it, I won, I accomplished it? Keep asking yourself that, even after our time together this morning. Examine, be a little introspective, and try to discover what it is. Because that answer will reveal something to all of us that Jesus tells us about in the 6th chapter of Matthew, where he calls that thing, whatever it is for you or me, our treasure. And he says, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. It's better to just be honest about these things than it is to pretend, since God knows our hearts. He knows what we're after. And that's what he wants to adjust this morning for all of us. Our hearts, our treasure, our goal. Today he wants to reveal and give us a new perspective on what it really means, what it really means to win at life. It's in Luke chapter 12, our gospel reading. In verse 51, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. No, I tell you, but rather division, to divide people even within a family." And this is so confusing to us when he says this. Because division, especially within a family, it does not sound like a win at all. So what's he getting at? Winning for Jesus is not about peace the way we look for it, a perfect life here and now. His goalpost set far beyond the happenings of this life. And that's why in Hebrews, those mentioned who got their win, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, we could keep going. It was, as the writer of Hebrew put it, it was by faith. By faith. When our goalposts are only set within the confines of this earthly life, which is where we normally set our goals and what it means for us to win, when it's only set in the world and what it has to offer, there can be no lasting peace with that. There's only dangling carrots and wild goose chases and tricks and mirages. And we go after those things all the time. It might not be something we don't have that we want to get. It might be something that we're struggling with every day that we want to be rid of. What we chase after, it's not lasting. It's not a win. In regard to that, Jesus also told us in the 7th chapter of Matthew, a foolish man builds his house on the sand, but a wise on the rock. The things the world has to offer us, friends, the things that we're inundated with all the time and marketed to and sold to, and the things we try to shake off, and the things that we say, I need. Have you ever noticed the thing that you need and the thing that I need is, it's always the thing we don't have. Always. God's given us so much, and we get it, and this is a problem with our sinful nature, right? Because we get something, we have it, and then we want something else. And it just keeps shifting like sand all the time, all the time. And those things that the world's inundating us with, they glisten and they shine, but they will pass away. But our Lord says, my word will never pass away. This morning, he wants to take us past our short-sighted touchdowns, our worldly hoops and goals, and our earthly treasures and dreams that are more resemble what the false prophets were doing in the book of Jeremiah. And he wants to set our sights, get this, on real winning. Not our cheap, useless version of it. Temporary. He wants us to know what real winning is. So if we think we're going to get a W in this life, we've been deceived. It's all temporary. Real quick, listen to Peter in his in 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and all the works on the earth that are done, it will all be exposed. Life has an expiration date. So yes, like Jesus told us, when pure holiness, when Jesus himself comes into a sinful world, it results in division, even in families. But it's not God's desire at all to divide father from son or mother from daughter or anyone else. But the earth is filled with evil. If you've lost that trajectory in your life, listen to the Lord this morning. The world is filled with sin and death and attacks upon our faith. And when that evil is exposed by the truth of God's word, when it comes in, then yeah, we see that many seek only worldly goals. And there's division. When the light of God's word shines on the darkness cannot comprehend it, and the divisions are exposed. And that's what Jesus is saying to us in his gospel reading. He doesn't, as he says, come to give peace between those fixed on worldly ends and those set on heaven. For he knows this world and the realities within it, they are not the goal. Not the win, not the real victory. The real peace is beyond this life. The question is, do we know it? Do we really, really know it? What does it mean for you to win at life? Where is the goalpost really set? Today, our Lord Jesus gives us a better perspective. He gives us all that we need to build our house on the rock. Even in the shifting sand, He gives us something solid. Because what we do when things shift and change, when our win hasn't come, or when we think we've lost it and it's just hopeless, why am I even trying? I'm never going to get that win. When winning feels impossible, when our dreams feel crushed, and our earthly goals are rendered too far gone, and we're saying, what's the point? Careful. He's teaching us. Listen to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 2. It says, set your minds on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Why does he say that? Jesus is moving our goalposts this morning. He's reorienting us to what a real win looks like. Like Abraham, he was asked to sacrifice his only son that God had given him. But his faith, Abraham's faith, let him see beyond earth to the promises of heaven. God does not want his people deceived, depressed, crushed by the world's shifting sands and troubles. So he points us beyond this life. And it's a hard thing to adjust, right? We can't adjust this ourselves. No matter how much effort we put into it, we're going to be focused on things that are temporary. So God comes to us by grace and mercy through his word, through his cross, and what he won there, through his resurrection, and what he accomplished there, and through his spirit that he sent to this world. And by that spirit, he's here with us this morning, and he's adjusting our perspective. So what does it look like for you to win at life? Where's your end zone? What's the goal? Did you know earlier in Genesis, what we heard last Sunday, Abraham seemed like his goal was to have a son. That's what he asked God for in that encounter when God said, well, your sons will be as many as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. But today, God's showing us that wasn't it. To serve God was what Abraham wanted, even at the cost of Isaac. God has given us all great blessings, not that much different from Abraham. But his goal with those blessings that you have is going to be exactly the same as it was for Abraham, to reveal what's beyond them. That's what he's doing with them. I mean, if we look at Jesus, we can see his sights are set far beyond this life. He endured so much suffering. And why? Because he knew there was more. There was resurrection. So if we want to win at life, if we truly want to win, we want our goalposts to be correct, our end zone to be in the right place, and we can. In fact, the book of Romans tells us in the 8th chapter that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. But how? Well, not by walking with eyes of flesh, friends, but by walking by faith, like we heard about in the book of Hebrews, by trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and leaning not on our own understanding. By having our definition of winning at life adjusted by our gracious and merciful God this morning to show us this amazing reality. Here's how Jesus says we can win at life. Are you ready? Repent of your sins and be forgiven. Love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Forgive those who've wronged you. If somebody asks you to go 1 mile with them, go 2. And make sure the gospel continues to be preached here and everywhere. And get this one. Serve the Lord in the vocation that He's given you to serve Him. Stop chasing the dreams. Stop looking for the end zones. Stop trying to change everything about the blessings that we have. Even when it's a battle, even when it feels like loss, Jesus is showing us how to truly win. If we want to win at life, He's telling us how. The weird thing is, friends, is that what He says, it doesn't look like a win to us. What looks like a win is money and fame and riches and all the stuff we want, all those false little end zones. But Jesus is telling us this morning how to truly, truly win at life. Consider this and then I'm done. The paradox of the cross and how it could possibly be a win. It looks like defeat. It looks like the end. It looks like all is over. It looks like Jesus is beaten and God is destroyed. And hidden within all that is the biggest win in the history of the universe. And that win, some encouragement, whatever cross you're bearing right now, that win is in that cross too by faith, just like it was for all the people in Hebrews. This is what it truly looks like to win. A cross to bear, service to the unworthy, loving the unlovable, love and forgiveness and repentance. God's moving our goalposts. He's giving us eyes of faith like Abraham to see beyond what the world sees. And why is He doing it? So we can have true peace that the world does not know. And life and family around His table forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, our fathers in the faith gave a good confession of your truth before the powers of this world. In the spirit of Jeremiah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, Lord, strengthen our hearts in these last days when divisions are so clear. Strengthen us to confess your word and live in your glory. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, bless this congregation and our life together around the word and the table of the Lord. Grant that the word of God would go forth from this place and that it would bless and prosper all things according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, be with those who have wandered from the faith, those who have been absent from the Lord's house, and those that have hurt or wounded others in word and deed. Lord, reconcile us to yourself, that we would know the forgiveness of Christ, the love of believers in Christ. And Lord, there is none who is righteous, no, not one. So to point fingers and say, where have you been? Lord, this does not come from you. Lord, but in your church, you gather us and you bring us together as a family to love and respect each other. Strengthen us in this, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you called Jeremiah as a youth and used him in your service. We give you thanks for the young Christians that you've made your children. By your word, strengthen them for daily life and help them to grow as your people. Keep them all our youth in your care. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, You shepherd the nations according to your word. Grant our rulers wisdom and faith to serve for the good of their people and to promote peace and quietness for the flourishing of every godly endeavor. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, we pray you grant healing to the sick and those in any kind of need. Lord, especially we name before you this morning Izzy Wieskamp, the family of Johnny Rendon, Connie Hauser, family and friends of Peyton Sanchez, Letha and Tom Hershey, Jairus Yetzi, Helen Almdale, Brandon Jones, Lauren Ohawe, Jeff Autopolik, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinberger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name quietly on our hearts at this time. O Lord, grant strength to the weak, endurance to bear under trial, patience to await your deliverance, and peace at the last. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, sanctify and keep all who come to your table this day by your word and Holy Spirit, that they would receive the body and blood of your Son in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing, bringing forth the fruits thereof in peace and joy. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, your dear Son suffered and died for our redemption. Lord, embolden us by the witness of the great company of saints who remained faithful unto death, that we would likewise fix our eyes upon Christ and so share in his victory over the grave. Through the same, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our offerings are collected and presented. As the offerings are collected this morning, would you join us in singing together hymn 411, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Let's sing that together. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in and being a part of our service that way. Wish you the Lord's blessings as the Lord continues to lead and guide you as well. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, we pray as the Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. It'll be a bigger White House meeting tomorrow on the Russian-Ukraine war. It'll include President Trump, Ukrainian President Zelensky, the NATO Secretary General, the German Chancellor, and European Union President. Rejecting Putin's demand, according to sources of control of Ukraine's Donetsk region, the Ukrainian chief, Zelensky, in Brussels.
Putin does not want to stop the killing, but he must do it.
Zelensky meeting in Belgium with the European Commission head. An aid parachute fell in a camp in Gaza, hurting some of the Palestinian civilians and destroying their tent. The supplies spilling all over the ground, according to witnesses seen in photos and the aftermath recorded at the